Welcome. Welcome to this Falling Brook Heights Church at the Center experience, adventure, crucible, trek. This experience that we are in right now, that's hard to describe as an experience because it's not really a meeting you go to. It's not really a series of events. It's not really organized based on a certain ethnic group or age. It's the Church of Jesus Christ. I don't know how you describe it exactly. Sometimes we would describe it or put it in a picture. And so you can see this picture. Let me move this. Sometimes you say it in a picture because we look at each other and we say, oh, I know you. You're part of Falling Brook Heights Baptist Church of the Center. That's a family way of understanding our church. And I wanted to dig a little deeper today and go into some of the more dynamics as we've been talking about last week and into this month. Do you know that our church community has 44 members under age 20? Do you know that those 44 people under age 22, on average, are 8.4 years old, and the largest group, the mode of this group, are kids that have not yet celebrated their first birthday. The kids that are not yet one are the biggest group, five of them. Did you know that overall, our male-female ratio in this church is 1.4 women to every man? Between the ages of 20 and 55, it's 11 women to 10 men. And between ages 0 and 20, it's 1 to 1. That's interesting. But in our congregation, sorry, let me say the most common names of those under age 20 is Alex. The most common girl's name, Danielle and Maya. We have kids all over the spectrum in terms of various dynamics and talents and abilities and ages. And so you'll hear me today refer to them as kids, young people, because we're going to tackle something very interesting. But overall, the attendance of our 0 to 20-year-olds starts to decline at about age 8 and declines until they're 20. That's similar to other churches all across the country. But the attendance of our kids in groups of our church declines between 8 and 20. That's a problem. Most informative time of their life, and they're in decline in terms of connecting with us. As I looked at this dynamic over those last couple weeks, I wanted to represent or show you our church in terms of a pie graph. I know some of you are going, ah, I hate pie graphs. Pie graphs are just 100% of something. And this is the breakdown of the pie chart of our church. If you look around it, you can see that starting kind of with this line here, we have, based on age going around like a clock, preschool, elementary school, you can find yourself in here somewhere. And you'll see as we look at this over the next few weeks that there's some drivers. There's what I called epic drivers. The epic drivers are education, parentage, individuality, and career. You'll see as we discuss this, these drivers that make significant changes. You can see people around us that are in transition, that are crossing over from education to career. Evan told us about that this morning. Crossovers. But I wanted to go a little bit further with this because you may ask, well, how does this exactly work out? You can see there's the chart again. But let me represent it this way. At a very young age, we're born. That didn't work last week either. At a very young age, we're born. And we start our lives in preschool. And as you can see with the chart that I provided as well, too, that is the point at which you have, I think, the greatest freedom in life. And then you progress into elementary school, high school, and about age 20 to 24, another transition happens. And I've called this, let me change it one more step, the first group, smart pre-tirees. These are individuals whose brains are developing, whose bodies are developing, and they're not working, at least not to a self-sustaining level. The next group I've labeled busy managers, and we talked about busy managers last week. You can see the chart that I provided as well, too, some of the dynamics of that. Busy managers are those that have the demands on their life in which career and parentage going up and down, and their mortgage and their car and their interests all are heavy. that lasts for about 35 years, demographers say, until you get to a stage at between 53 and 55 in which you move over to another time. And I've called that the free influencers time period. Free influencers in which we our busy management has yielded places where we're pretty good in our career. We don't have to strive as hard as we did 20 years earlier. Our kids are grown up for the most part, making their own decisions. We're influencing them, but we're not changing their diapers. We're at a stage in which our parents are probably living a healthy lifestyle as well. We're free influencers. And that lasts for about 15 years. And about 15 years later, about age 70, demographers say, is when another transition happens, and I've labeled it the grand retirees. A grand retiree stage is a time in which you live off your incomes, you're no longer having to work, you take care of your health, and you invest in two generations, because typically at that stage in life, your parents have gone. You've moved into a grand retiree stage. Now you may say, Ken, why are you talking about this? Well, my experience as a certified financial planner in philanthropic management with my Master's of Divinity and studying God's Word, it's important for you to know the stage you're in, to know some of the realities of that stage, to experience some of the dynamics in which you celebrate things, in which you will mourn some things. It's good for you to understand the stage you're in part to say to God, as you lead me, I will give and take. It's also very important for us to work against the myopia that gets focused on our own lives and to put aside the myopic or the blinders and be able to focus on people in another stage. Think of the stage that's opposite yours wherever you are on the chart. They have different dynamics than you're experiencing. And so if you understand where they are in life, then you can better love them. And you can better appreciate them. So, and God, by the way, loves every stage. Think of Jesus coming as a baby. Think of him being held by octogenarians, Anna, Simeon, Elizabeth, Zechariah, and then the opposite spectrum from where he was. Opposite stage in life. Think of Jesus at 33 talking to Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea and perhaps Mary and Martha and Lazarus, all people that were at a different stage in life than him. You see those dynamics in Scripture when you start to think of these things. Now, this is not something in which I'm up here with all the expertise, authority. It's just too vast a topic for us to really understand. Educators, you know this, that when we look at these kind of dynamics, it's huge. I could put a biography of, a bibliography of 50 books that you could read about these sorts of things. I'm not saying that we're going to comprehensively look at this dynamic. I want us to understand it so we are better lovers of each other. And today, we are going to look at another kind of dynamic of looking at development, education, smart retirees. Today, we're going to look at smart retirees. Yes, everyone under age 20. This is a very important topic, in part because they're our present and future. They inherit from us, as we say in our dedication services. They are at the time in life in which they're being profoundly influenced, 0 to 20. And if we as a church don't love people between 0 and 20 in a way that God wants us to love, we are missing a significant part of sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ to the next generation. So, I want your help so we can understand this. As we look at this, 32% of our congregation or our church family that is under age 20, that will create a church that will look perhaps different than ours today. I hope they do. I hope they find something that's redemptive and applicable and something that brings joy to them, that they create new songs, create new ways of expression. That's keeping the church alive. So we're going to take a look at that. Let me share with you, just with the bulletin handout that you have, and some of the dynamics that we have for that. If you take your bulletin on this side, on the one side is the chart that has the breakdown of who we are. And on the other side is a little grid that I put together with these four stages on it. So let me first go to the second line where it says busy managers. Last week we talked, if you want to write this in or pencil this in, last week we spoke about busy managers, and because they're busy in life, I'll go through this quickly. I know you have limited time. Busy managers are between 21 and 54, typically. Employment and family are the major transitions they go through. Getting a job and starting a family, significant. They are pressed for time. They are career-tied in in education. Education at that stage is no longer, oh, I think I'll do a PhD, typically. It's what is connected to my job that I can pursue. Parentage, they create new families in this stage. And there's a transition with their parents. Changing dynamic because their parents are becoming grandparents. They're independent, or their interest is survival. Their careers are in pursuit, church focus, discipleship and learning. And we talked, I asked the question last week, what do these people need? They need love plus support, peace, sleep, balance, grace. I said balance. You need to be able to balance their priorities. So we're going to look at the first line here. If you go to Smart Pre-Tirees and look at those dynamics, I obviously appreciate your feedback and your interest in this. Smart Pre-Tirees. When we look at those between 0 and 20, a huge range of development and experience and perspective, but I think these things will hold true. Let's just show this. People that are between 0 and 20, typically. Their transitions are school and friendship. If you're not sure about that, go ask a 5-year-old how it's going with school. It's a big thing. They're starting kindergarten, they're starting grade 1. This is huge in their life. And if you think about it, I believe that friendship is a major issue. The friends that will influence them, the friends that will bolster them, the friends that will give them confidence beyond their family, because typically, as we all of us have experienced, oh, mom and dad will always love me. Friends, there has to be an exchange. So, I've said that transitions are school and friendship. Their time is reducing. Compare a 2-year-old to a 12-year-old to a 22-year-old and look at their time. Time's reducing. Don't tell them this, because this may be something that bothers them. Their time is reducing. More demands are increasing in their lives. Their education is active. In fact, it's mandated by the government. Their parentage is they're dependent upon. Now, if anyone's with us today, Andrew, I guess you're the representative of the group. If you have any questions, Andrew, about whether you're dependent upon me for your finances, ask who paid your dentist bill. Kids are dependent upon their parents. So parentage, they are dependent upon us. They're dependent upon all of us as a church family. Their independent interest that I noted there, I believe, is fun. Now some of you may say, fun? Fun's overrated. Fun's a waste of time. If you contemplate, and what other demographers have looked at, what fun means taking risks. Fun means joy. Fun means adventure. Fun means friendship. Fun means developing your talents. Watch a kid at play, and I think it's amazing over time that they will grow and learn and develop, but predominantly if fun's there. It has to be fun. Which I think, once we turn 20, like, I think we get a slap in the head and say, well, life shouldn't be fun anymore. What? Fun was the greatest motivator for us to actually do something and grow in our lives. Fun. So that's what I would think their independent interest is. Their career is idealistically oriented. Just ask one of the kids in our congregation or one of your own kids, what do you want to be when you grow up? Anyone say a manager of a septic tank company? No. Fireman. I want to be a rock star. I want to be an astronaut. I want to be a pastor, is what they say, right? It's ideal-oriented, which is great because it may motivate them to pursue things in life even though they don't reach their target. It's that sense of pursuing who you'll be. The church focus. Now, let me make a suggestion here that we can contemplate and think, what is the church focus for this group? I think encouraging them, accepting them, mentoring them, are focal points for us in terms of this group. Encouragement. You're good at this. Accepting them. Even when they express themselves loudly around us and our ears are a little shocked. Acceptance of them. And mentorship. But let me ask you this question. What is it that this group needs? Love plus acceptance. Encouragement. Mentoring. Patience. Lots of patience. These are humans in the rough. Of course they need patience. Our respect, I think, for where they're at. I asked this question on Facebook yesterday. A couple of people responded back with those same kind of answers. Good role models. Which is interesting. I think safety and mentorship are two things that we need to do as a church and think about how we invest in these ones that in 20 years' time, they'll be 20 years older. Or in heaven. Can't stop that. Anyways, smart pre-tirees. Some of the dynamics. With all this that we look at, that their school and friendship's important, their time's reducing, they're active in education, they're dependent upon their parents, they like to pursue fun for the good of it, they like to be rock stars and CEOs and firemen and pastors, of course, and church focus, encouragement, acceptance, mentorship, safety. With this, I want to ask two questions. First question is this. Why should 0 to 20-year-olds engage in this church? Now, they're upstairs in blast, except for Andrew. Why should they engage in this church? And let me ask you a second question. Why should you bring your grandchildren, your children, your nieces, your nephews, your friends from the friends' kids, why should you bring them here? Why should you bring them to church? Why should you make their spirituality a priority? That's what we're going to pursue. So I wanted to turn back to Jude. And I wanted to look at Jude here and just read this for you in terms of some encouragement from Jude that we could focus on from 0 to 20. Let me read this for you. To those who've been called, who are loved in God the Father and kept for Jesus Christ, mercy, peace, and love be yours in abundance. What a great statement to say to those 0 to 20. Mercy, peace, and love is coming from God the Father for you. Kept for Jesus Christ. Though you already know this, I want to remind you that the Lord at one time delivered his people out of Egypt, but later destroyed those who do not believe. I'll come back to that. You, dear friends, by building yourself up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourself in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you into eternal life. Powerful text. It has hope in it. It has patience in it. It has waiting for the time in it. But let me focus on a couple things in terms of our understanding of youth for how we interact with them. I will, as I'm involved with Stomp, Matthew and I are involved in Stomp, I'll share with our group in Stomp some of these messages that are part of this focus. But let me carry on here and look at what our response is. That are no longer in the 0 to 20 for the most part. What is our response? Well, first let me say a couple things in terms of the Canadian church. Number one, they did a study back back in 2012, the Great Commission Foundation, the Evangelical Fellowship of Canada, InterVarsity Christian Fellowship, Stronger Together, Youth for Christ, asked 18 to 24-year-olds about their faith. Okay? So they went to this group of people, asked a whole number of them through all the dynamics of asking through surveys, and it was called Hemorrhaging Faith because of its results. Hemorrhaging Faith, fascinating document to read. We have one of those. I'm happy to extend it to you. Hemorrhaging Faith summarized it this way. Of those kids that went to Sunday school and church up to age 18, a quarter of them were engagers still in church. 1 in 4. Another third of them were fence sitters. They hadn't decided yet on the church. Another quarter were wanderers. Saw no reason for church. And 15% were rejectors. Let me summarize that a little bit better. 40% left. 40% of those who attended church Sunday school, kids programs had gone by the time they were 18. 23% were committed, 1 in 4. And 32% were undecided. They have a question for us. Why should they come and connect with us? Some have already left, but a big portion are just saying, what's the point? Of course, this isn't the final answer, but let me share a couple other stats. One in three youth who attend church as children did so in their 20s. More young people leave between 9 and 15 than leave between 16 and 22. What are they basing their decision on? Now, let me pause here for a moment, because those that had left, some were for legitimate reasons. Sorry, let me go on to one more. Faithful youth reported their faith came alive during a mission trip. 71% that were still there said that their faith came alive in a mission trip. 56% said it was at summer camp. Two important factors in the life of kids. And 46% of the faithful said their faith is vibrant due to a friend. Our first goal as a church that we determined a couple years ago is to have faithful friends in fellowship. Everyone needs to have a friend in church. Maybe more than one. Maybe five. This stat here, 46% of those that stay say you need a friend. Think about it. Do you want to go where no one knows your name? Typically not. There's anxiety there. They were coming because people knew their name. Let me carry on here and share one more thing, or one more group of things. What is our response? Reg Bibby said the relational links that touch family life and their own life are so critically important. Your mentorship of kids are so critically important that the whole question of who will stay and who will go depends on whether they can define their involvement as worthwhile. Is it worth it for them to come? Don Posterski, another author of this study, said in terms of long-term stability of spiritual centeredness, the family is actually more important than the church. If you look at barriers and drivers, consistency of faith, there's no greater predictor for spiritual perseverance than the family you're raised in. The church needs to assist parents in the nurturing of kids and spiritual formation. So what is our response? How do we care for this group of people that's 32% of our church family that God has blessed us with? First thing is to live out vibrant, authentic, real Christianity. To live it out. At home and at church. What does this further mean for you parents of this group? To pray and read the Bible with your child. And then live it out. Authenticity is the most important thing. That resonates with me. Second, empower the teaching of beliefs. This is our church's challenge based on hemorrhaging faith. To empower the teaching of beliefs, the transmission of values. So you may say, oh, I don't even know someone that's between 0 and 20. But as a church, we are called to empower the teaching of beliefs. Janet was up here sharing the way we do that. That's our third goal, to equip or to empower, to provide for our church so that we can share values to the next generation. There was a thrust in the 60s, I don't know where it came from, I still find it really strange, is that kids are already predetermined and you don't have to do anything with them, they'll just grow into their own persons. So parents were actually saying, I don't want to influence my children. And they would say things like, well, I don't want to take my child to any church because they already have predisposed what they're going to believe. And therefore, if I'm going to take them to any church, I'm going to give them all religions and let them pick the one that's the greatest connection for them. That's been a disaster in some ways. Because kids then growing up having no values because their parents didn't share anything with them and they're confused about the world that they live in. I think it's a strange thing. Called to empower the teaching of beliefs. What else? To allow freedom. Organic openness, the hemorrhaging faith determines, says about it. To let them explore Christ, their faith, struggles in the world. and to provide for them arenas of camp, youth group, missions, so that they can explore the tougher questions in life and us not back away from them. The questions, that is to allow the freedom, organic openness for the kids to explore it. I think we have that as a church congregation. We allow that expression, but it's a great focal point. Lastly, to pray and seek tangible experience with God, focus on Christ. Last night at the Festival of Hope, I was talking to a young person who said, I just felt God come alive in me. And they shared with me, that was the experience that will impact their life. To encourage this, to get real, so to speak. God loves them. He has a plan for their life. He wants to help them in terms of who they date, who they marry, what jobs they have, where they look for the university they go to. God wants to help them. We want to help them. So get involved with them in that way. It's a challenge for us in this world, as we read in Jude, because the world is conflicting in so many ways in terms of us sharing with the next generation how God loves them in the Word of God. I know it's a challenge that we face. We can't back away from the fact that, as Jude notes, there's destructive elements in our world that will take our children away from what's true. We can define those easily in terms of saying, yeah, LSD and, you know, heroin. Yeah, all the way through the spectrum, there's things that can distract our kids. And we're called to stand on the Word of God and direct them accordingly so that they grow up healthy and strong believers. It's a great challenge for us. We have a rich 44-person group here at Falling Brook Heights to invest ourselves into. So I want you to do something for me. I want you to stand with me. I want you to stand with me, and if you're not part of the age group from 0 to 20, I want you to read this. I want you to read this last part of Jude. It's Jude 24, if you want to look it up in your Bibles. Jude 24, verse 24. And I want us to read it as a blessing to our young ones. Whether they're in Jam or Blast or here with us, I want us to pray it as a blessing, because this is incredible truth. Let's read this together. To Him who's able to keep you from stumbling and to present you before His glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God our Savior, be glory and majesty, power and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen.